This is the Digital Nomad Quest podcast with Sharon Sung, teaching people how to build passive income, become financially free, and design their best lives. Hey guys, it's Sharon from Digital Nomad Quest, and today we're going to do an episode on stocks versus real estate, which is the better investment. Now, if you guys are new to this channel, welcome. I'm all about teaching you how to build passive income, become financially free, and design your best life. So if you guys are interested in that, make sure to subscribe and hit the bell button to be notified of my latest videos. So I get this question a lot. People ask me which one is the better investment type. I do talk about both on my channel, but as you can see, I probably talk about real estate the most. However, a large portion of my net worth is actually in stocks, so I want to go over it today. I'm going to go over the pros and cons of each. So we're going to start with stocks first, and we'll start with the pros. So first off, stocks have a low barrier to entry, in my opinion. It's very easy to start investing with stocks. So for example, there are mobile apps like Webull and Public where you can sign up right away. So if you guys want to sign up with my link, there are actually some really good sign up bonuses, and that's why I kind of have multiple brokerages now, because I like getting those sign up bonuses. So if you guys do decide to sign up with Webull or Public through the links in my description, you will get free stocks upon signing up and putting $100 into your account. Now, with doing this, with just transferring some money into those apps, you can start investing in stocks right away. Even with Public, you can buy stocks with as little as $1 because they have fractional shares. So you can even buy a dollar of Amazon or Google or whatever, because they allow you to buy fractional shares, so you don't need to buy a whole share to own a piece of that stock. So if you want to get into it right away, you can literally do it from the comforts of your phone, and you can just get those apps and you can start investing. So that's why I believe it's a low barrier to entry. You can invest with as little as $1. And with those sign up bonuses, you just put in $100 into the account and you can start getting those free stocks right away. Number two is very liquid, meaning you can easily convert your stocks into cash. There are always people buying and selling stocks. So if you put an order to sell on a stock, it will most likely execute pretty quickly, depending on like the market cap. If there are a lot of people buying and selling that specific stock, it'll be likely that people will buy your shares that you are selling. It's definitely a pro that it's so liquid. For example, with real estate, it's going to be harder for you to sell a property versus selling stocks. If you need the money right away, for example, if you put your money into a property, you're going to need to probably find an agent to sell your property, or you can try to do it off market. But both ways, it's going to take some time for you to sell that property. Number three, there are low transaction costs. A lot of these brokerages now actually offer no fees for trading stocks. So for example, with Public and Webull that I mentioned earlier, you actually don't have any costs when you are buying or selling stocks. At the same time, real estate, there's gonna be higher transaction fees for sure. So there's gonna be closing costs when you purchase a property. There might be appraisal fees, origination fees, points, and things like that. So usually closing costs with a property when you're buying, you might incur 2-5% of your purchase price when you are buying a property. There's gonna be even more costs when you're selling a property because you will need to pay your agent as well usually. Another advantage with stocks is you can easily trade with your tax advantage accounts. For example, with your Roth IRA, your 401k, you can actually use that to invest into the stock market. So for example, with your Roth IRA, your contributions are coming from after tax dollars. So the whole account is tax-free, including your earnings, when you turn 59.5 years old. So you can make a ton of money through stocks in your Roth IRA. And when you're over 59 and a half and you withdraw, you can enjoy tax-free withdrawal then. You also need to make sure that your Roth IRA has been open for at least 5 years to get tax-free withdrawal as well after 59 and a half years old. So that is definitely an advantage if you actually invest with your Roth IRA contributions and you're putting it into the stock market. So I definitely make sure for my Roth IRA contributions, I always try to max that. And then I also try to put that into ETFs like QQQ and other long-term stocks that I invest in. And the last pro with stocks is there's not much physical work required. So you might do some initial research, but ultimately a lot of people recommend just putting a bunch of your money into index funds or ETFs that are diversified and track the market. That's usually safer than investing in just like the hottest stock, putting all your money into that. That's usually kind of scary. It's better to invest in safer plays like index funds and ETFs. So let me explain. So ETFs are exchange traded funds, and they're basically a basket of stocks. So rather than investing in one stock, you can invest in a portfolio of stocks through an ETF. And this already helps you diversify your holdings, essentially making it less risky than investing in just one stock. A popular ETF that I invest in is QQQ, which passively tracks the NASDAQ 100 index. By investing in this ETF, I invest in 100 of the top companies in the NASDAQ stock exchange. Index funds also track a particular index. The biggest difference with ETFs and index funds is that ETFs are easier to trade. They're kind of traded like a stock, whereas index funds can be bought and sold only for their price set at the end of the trading day. All right, we went over a bunch of the pros of stocks. Let's go over the cons now. So first con is you don't own something tangible. With stocks, you don't own something tangible. So some people feel wary of investing in stocks versus real estate, where that's actually a physical asset that you can see. Number two, it can be more volatile. So you may see huge ups and downs depending on what the stock is. So because of this, there's a lot of day traders who like to buy and sell based off of the fluctuations of the pricing. Because it's so volatile, they're trying to make quick profits. I usually recommend investing in stuff that's more long-term, that you want to hold for a long time. And even if there's so many fluctuations, it'll eventually go up because you believe in it based off the fundamentals. Number three, you don't get much control. With real estate, you can actually force appreciation, which I'll talk about later. With stocks, you kind of just have to watch. So if you invest in a company and they decide to do something that you think is completely stupid, and it might tank the price of the shares, and you don't have any control of that. And lastly, it's easy to invest emotionally. And because of that, it also reacts on how people feel a lot of times. So if people start feeling really scared, there's a chance that the stock might tank because they're like, oh my God, what if everything tanks? So a bunch of people start selling off. That's why people say buy the dips. They're trying to go against the fear and try to buy when it's low. You don't want to invest emotionally because there's a chance you're going to buy at the high and you're going to sell at the low because of it. So for example, when crypto was going up and up and up, a lot of people started buying into it at the highs and then people started selling off, right? So you want to make sure you're investing because you actually believe in the company or believe in whatever, that you think that it has long-term growth potential. Now let's go into real estate. Let's go into the pros and cons. So pro number one is it's tangible. Everyone needs a place to live. So for me, I feel safer in seeing that a lot of my properties, there's demand for it because there's a lot of people renting places and they need a place to live. So there's going to be demand no matter what. A lot of it though is that you want to make sure you're buying something in an appreciating market. So you want to make sure that there is population growth. There are a lot of renters out there and they're building new things there. They're having more job growth. All those things will usually drive the prices of homes higher because there's more demand for it. Number two, there's cash flow income. So when renters are renting your properties, you're going to be able to pay off your mortgage and your other expenses and cash flow if you're doing it correctly. And with that, you can see regular income coming in every month. And obviously, that's one of my favorite benefits. You get to see passive income coming in every month to your bank account because you have these little properties working for you. Number three, let's talk about forced appreciation. So like I mentioned earlier, there's less control with stocks, but with real estate, you can actually force the value of the property upwards by fixing it up and doing repairs, doing renovations. For example, you could buy an ugly property in a really nice neighborhood and buy it at a low price and then fix it up where you can actually make a lot of money doing that. So that's what a lot of flippers do, right? They buy these properties that might be complete fixers and then fix it up, and then they actually make a profit by selling it at a higher price. For example, you might buy a property at $100,000 and the property would be worth $300,000 after repairs. So if you do calculations and make sure you're accounting for holding costs, selling costs, renovation work. So if all of that, for example, becomes $50,000 for you to fix it up, hold it, and sell it, then you can make a $150,000 profit, which would be insane. But it's actually doable because a lot of flippers in the Bay Area actually make six figures every single flip. It's risky, but it can actually work. I, for one, am currently not a flipper because I prefer holding on to my investments. I would say that I almost don't even feel like flipping is a form of investing. I would say buying and holding is more investing in real estate because you're kind of holding it and letting it appreciate over time while you're getting that cash flow as well. So with forced appreciation, you could fix up a property and just let it sit and it will appreciate a lot in value. My $240,000 single family home I purchased at $240,000. I maybe spent $13,000 in repairs. That forced the appreciation a little bit. And then natural appreciation just did its work actually. And now it's worth over $600,000, which is insane. Number four, let's talk about tax benefits as well. There are tax benefits like depreciation. So even though your property is appreciating in value, the government has determined the useful life of a residential rental property is 27.5 years. So to help you out, the government's gonna let you deduct 1 over 27.5 of the building's value every single year. And then another tax benefit is the 1031 exchange. This lets you defer your capital gains taxes on your rental property when you buy another like-kind property. So when you sell your home, you're normally going to pay capital gains taxes on the profits that you made from selling. But if you buy, for example, a bigger property, it's gonna let you roll that over and defer your capital gains taxes. There's also the benefit of step-up in basis when you pass away. It's another tax benefit. So instead of selling your properties, you could basically pass that down to your heirs. And if the heirs decide to sell those properties, they won't need to pay those capital gains taxes because it basically sets them back to zero when they inherit the properties. But after they inherit the properties, if the properties appreciate after they've inherited it, then they would have to just pay the capital gains taxes on that period of time. So currently that's essentially how it works, but things may change in the future. But as you can see, there are a bunch of different tax benefits. I haven't named all of them here, but there's a lot of these things like that that investors understand that can help them when they are trying to grow their wealth. And then lastly, another huge benefit with real estate is leverage. With stocks, you can't just borrow 80% of the stock's value and then just get the stock, right? But with real estate, you can leverage money, meaning you can borrow maybe 80 to 90% of the value of a home. A lot of people, if they buy like a $500,000 home, maybe they will pay only 20% for the down payment instead of paying all cash for that property. So basically you can put in a down payment of $100,000 and then borrow the rest, which is $400,000. Like I mentioned, conventional financing is usually 20% down payment, but there are some types of loans like FHA loan where you only have to put in 3.5%. So that is definitely a huge advantage that you can buy a cash flowing asset without putting in 100% of your cash by yourself. And if that property appreciated, for example, you buy a $100,000 property, it appreciates to $120,000. If you put in all cash at $100,000, that's a 20% increase. But if you leverage money and you put in $20,000 to buy that $100,000 property and it goes to $120,000, you're basically doubling your investment, right? Because you've made $20,000 in profit and you put in $20,000. So those are a lot of different pros for real estate. Let's go over the cons though. Now with real estate, there's gonna be a lot more work required. So for me, I have to have property managers. I might fix up the property for repairs and things like that. I might renovate it to increase the value of the asset. It just has a lot more work involved. And some people just don't wanna do that work, right? They're like, I'm not a real estate investor. I'd rather invest in stocks. I don't wanna think about that. A lot of people kind of think of it as a whole nother business, which it really kind of is, but I kind of enjoy that part of it. I like that it has that entrepreneurial aspect and I can hire property managers to manage my properties. I can get income and it's really nice because of that. Number two, there's a lot more startup capital that's required. And on top of that, there's gonna be higher transaction costs. Like I mentioned earlier, your closing costs might be 2 to 5% already of the purchase price. So that's kind of a lot of money, whereas stocks, a lot of brokerages offer 0% transaction fees, which is really nice. With real estate, if you buy a $500,000 property, you might put in $100,000 for a down payment, which is about 20%, plus you add those closing costs of 2 to 5%. So it does require a lot more money to invest into real estate, but there are other ways to finance. Maybe you partner with friends and family where you're the one finding the deal and doing the work and they put in the money. That's where you can actually find ways to put in less capital, but it could be riskier doing that. So you wanna make sure you're not over leveraging as well. And on top of that, you could actually do cash out refinances where you take money out after you have done the BRRRR method, where you're buying a property, you're rehabbing it, renting it out, then refinancing and then repeating, where you're actually taking money out after you fix it up. And then you can put that back into more investments and you can scale your portfolio quicker by doing that. So there are ways around kind of putting in a ton of your own money, but you just gotta understand the risks. You wanna make sure you are not leveraging too much money. Number three, it can be harder to start investing in real estate. I feel like a lot of people are excited when I talk about real estate because they're like, oh, how do I do that? How do I do that? It's not as easy as going on a mobile app like Webull in Public and just buying some stocks, right? It's definitely got a lot more work to it. You have to understand that there's work, there's more money required in it. There are things to study. You usually have to get an agent, you have to get a pre-approval letter. There's just like so many more steps. Whereas with stocks, you can just open your phone and start investing. So it's definitely a different game when it comes to real estate versus stocks. And lastly, it's not liquid. it's not as easy to sell off a property and have money again to like put into something else. For example, if all your money is tied up into real estate and you need to pay someone off like right away, it's gonna be harder. It takes some time to, if you are gonna work with an agent, get an agent and get the listing up, get offers, accept the offer. There's the escrow period. There's just like a lot more steps when it comes to selling a property. So it's definitely not as liquid as with stocks where you can literally just sell it and have money pretty quickly right after. So I hope you guys enjoyed this comparison with stocks and real estate. There's a lot of different pros and cons, as you guys can see. If I were to choose which is my favorite, I would probably have to say real estate. You guys probably guessed it because I talk about real estate all the time on my channel, but I like stocks as well. So I have a huge portion of my net worth into stocks and ETFs and things like that because I like to diversify. I like to have multiple types of investments, but I also like some of those pros I mentioned, that it's more liquid with, and it's just easier to do. You can just dump money into an ETF or an index fund and it'll grow over time most likely. So if you don't want to do any thinking, you are not into any of this type of stuff, you don't want to like own a business, because I honestly feel like real estate is kind of like owning your own business. If you don't want to deal with any of that, stocks are super easy. Like for example, a lot of people recommend putting their money into VTSAX, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund. And I think that's an easy way to go. You could grow your wealth pretty quickly by just doing that. Because it's essentially tracking the entire US equity market, it is a safer choice and you're diversified just doing that. So a lot of people do recommend that. Books like A Simple Path to Wealth and Your Money or Your Life, they do recommend just putting your money into VTSAX, and it's very simple that way. So I definitely don't judge whichever one you prefer. It makes a lot of sense to me investing in both or one or the other. There's a lot of pros and cons to both, so I don't judge.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps our podcast grow. And thanks again. I'll see you guys in the next one.